Good morning and welcome to Project Church Online. I think I'm going to wait just a few minutes before we jump into the message today, just to make sure that everyone that wants to join us today can get on and join us through this Facebook Live. So we're going to give it just a minute, and while we wait for this, let's just first of all, with the high number of COVID cases and with everything that's been going on, we definitely didn't want to do an in-person service today. I know a lot of you have either had this round of COVID, or you know someone who has, or you're currently quarantined because someone in your family has had COVID. And so we're praying for you guys. We're here for you guys, and if you need anything, of course, feel free to reach out and let us know. Another thing, as we're going through this today, as we're going through our message today, type in the comments. Use those comments, like Aisha is doing right now. Good morning, Matt. So if you would do me a favor, interact with me as we go through this message, and comment on the page. And talk to one another as we go through this content today. But we're so glad that you're joining us. We're so glad that you're here. And we're actually in week number three of our series called Shalom. We've been going through this idea, this concept of Shalom. And so if you've missed any of the weeks up to this point, you can get caught up online at theproject.church. And you can view all of our past messages and see everything that we've done up to this point. Now, with that being said, I'm going to do a really quick just recap over the past couple of weeks and what we've been talking about. So, in week one, Carrie talked to us about the meaning of shalom, and what the word actually means. It means this personal wholeness. It's this feeling of peace and harmony and completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. And my favorite part of the message was when she compared shalom to a brick wall. Now, when your shalom is complete, when you have complete and total peace, it's like a beautiful brick wall where every single piece of that brick wall is there. It's intact. There's no cracked bricks. Everything is there. And when we have complete shalom, that brick wall is sturdy, it's strong, and we don't have to worry about that brick wall coming down or breaking in any shape, form, or fashion. It's a sturdy wall. And when we don't have shalom, when we don't have peace in our life, when we don't have tranquility in our life, one by one, those little bricks can be removed from that wall, and then the slightest little breeze can come along and knock it over, which is why it's important for us to understand what does it take to have complete and total shalom? What are the things in our lives that we need to do to have this ultimate peace in our lives? Now, in week number two, Jared kicked us off with the idea of humility. Having humility, being humble, not being prideful. And in week number two, he talked all about this idea or this concept that every single person that you will meet in your life, every single person, no matter how rich or poor they are, no matter their circumstances in their lives, no matter what their history is, every single person has something to teach you. Every single person is valuable in some way. And so as believers, as Christians, as individuals, as humans, we have the opportunity to learn from every single person that is here on this planet. Now, what that does for us is it allows us to see individuals not as just another person, but someone that we can learn from. That's what keeps us humble. That's what keeps us from stumbling and falling and not being able to have that shalom in our lives. we can learn from others. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be a boss. It doesn't have to be whoever that's important in your life. It can be anyone in your life that you can learn from, and that we all need one another to keep each other accountable and making sure that we are humble. Our pride often is what stands in the way of us being influential, not only in the kingdom, but in the world as well. You'll find it much easier to form friendships and bonds with people if you are humble. When you allow your pride to get in the way, people won't want to listen to what you have to say, which then leads to us not being influential and being able to spread the word of God wherever we go. Now that brings us to this week, and this week I want to talk about this idea or this concept of forgiveness and how that might affect our shalom. And I want to start by reading you a story about Jesus and how he viewed forgiveness. Okay, we find this story in John 8, 1 through 11. It says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early that next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered. He sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says, well, we must stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stood up, he stooped down, and he wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, and so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. I find this story very interesting because there's this woman, right? So Jesus is teaching. He's in the middle of this crowd. We don't know what the message is that he's teaching, but he's teaching this message to this large crowd of people. And in come the Pharisees, probably dragging this woman into the middle of this crowd, right? These Pharisees actually are interrupting Jesus's message. So they bring her in, they drag her in. And as they drag her in, Jesus probably already knew what they were going to say, what they were going to be asking him. And so he's prepared, right? So as they're talking, he's kneeling down and he's writing something in the dust, right? He's writing something in the dust. And what's interesting to me is that in the story, it says that the Pharisees actually begin to slip away one by one, starting with the oldest. Now think about this for a minute. What do you think Jesus was writing in the dust when he stoops down? Is he doodling? Probably not, right? So I like to think, and this is total speculation, right? I like to think that Jesus was actually writing down the sins of the Pharisees. The sins of the Pharisees. And so he's writing these sins in the sand, right, in the dust. The Pharisees notice, oh my goodness, he's actually writing down my sin, right? And so as they see Jesus interacting with them and saying, hey, let the one without sin cast the first stone. You can stone her, right? That's the law. That's the law. You can stone her, but let the one that's perfect throw the first stone, right? And one by one, they begin to slip out of the crowd. Now, I've heard the story a million times, but what's interesting is when I'm thinking of this story and I think about the Pharisees slipping away, at the end of the story, for some reason, I always thought that it was just Jesus and the woman left in the middle of the story, right? It's like just him and her, and they have this moment, and she thanks Jesus and gets up and whatever. What's interesting is there's still a crowd there, right? So as they're viewing the situation happening, Jesus is actually breaking the law to forgive this adulterous woman's sin. They're viewing Jesus take on the Pharisees, and the Pharisees' sins are being announced to the crowd by Jesus drawing in the dust, right? It's a cool story. Now, what's interesting to me is this. Do you think that the Pharisees walked away from this encounter with Shalom? Do you think they walked away from the situation? No, they did not walk away from the situation with Shalom. They were probably ticked off, right? They walked away and they were angry because Jesus had broken the law by letting her go and probably announcing their sins to a crowd of people, right? Do you think the woman walked away with Shalom? Yeah, absolutely she did. Why? Because she was humbled by the experience. She was humbled by what happened in this situation. You see, she should have died in this scenario, and yet Jesus is forgiving her sins, right? He's forgiving her sins. He's giving her a second chance. And the Pharisees were not humbled by this experience. What else is interesting is I think the crowd walked away from that situation with a better sense of Shalom. Because not only is Jesus forgiving this woman's sins, but he's teaching the crowd a bigger lesson, right? It's a real life example of Jesus utilizing a situation and turning it on its head to teach a crowd of people what it means to have true forgiveness. True forgiveness. You see, the reality is those Pharisees, they walked away from that situation with a root of bitterness inside of them that began to grow and spread to the point where they had to deal with Jesus. They walked away broken. Their shalom was broken. However, this woman who we don't even know her name, walked away with a brand new freedom. Brand new freedom. And I believe that the root of bitterness is one of the weapons that the enemy tries to use against us to allow our shalom to be broken. And it's one of his best weapons that he uses today. In Acts 8:23, it says, "I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." Hebrews 12:15 says, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." The root of bitterness is what is breaking the wall in our life, that our wall of shalom. Think about it for a minute. If you see a vine growing up the side of your house, what should you do? Cut it down, right? Because eventually it can work its way into the little cracks in the brick and destroy the foundation of your home, right? It's the same thing with this root of bitterness that is inside of us. When we allow that root of bitterness to grow inside of us, it begins to tear apart those bricks one by one, tearing at our shalom to the point where our foundation is no longer sturdy. In the 1930s, there was this thing called the Dust Bowl, right? The Dust Bowl. Now, the Dust Bowl happened as America was growing. We had very poor agricultural standards. There was a dry spell that happened in America. And so all of a sudden, there was this large chunk of land that was nothing but just dust, right? It was just a whole bunch of dust. There wasn't a whole lot of shrubs. There wasn't grass. And it created the situation where when the wind would begin to blow in a certain direction, it would cause these massive dust storms that would come up, and it would just destroy animals and people, and would hurt people, right? And so the U.S. knew they had to do something about the situation. So in the 1930s, the United States government introduced a plant to this area that was affected by the Dust Bowl. The plant was called kudzu. Okay, so this kudzu was introduced because it did really well in heat. It expanded quickly. It grew, and it was a good fodder cover for the dust in that area. In other words, it rooted quickly and allowed the dust to settle to where, when the winds blew, there weren't as many dust storms. Now, here's the problem with kudzu. It's an invasive species, okay? So it can aggressively take over everything that's in its path. Everything that's in its path, right? So all of a sudden, we've got this kudzu that's introduced to the United States in the Dust Bowl. And we see kudzu now. If you travel anywhere in the South, you'll see it, right? It's the plant or the vines that grow, and they grow over trees, they grow over bushes, they grow through everything, and you see these massive clumps of kudzu just overtaking everything. It kills trees, it kills all these different things. The thing that the United States government introduced to try to solve the Dust Bowl caused way more issues than anything else that they could have possibly done. Now, why do I tell you this story? Well, I think this root of bitterness is a lot like this kudzu, right? We think it's harmless whenever we have unforgiveness in our heart. We think it's harmless to have this little thing towards someone, right? Like there's this, oh, it's just not a big deal, but I just don't like them because XYZ. And so you hold on to this little tiny root of bitterness, but what you don't realize is over time it's an invasive species. It's going to begin to grow inside of you, and it's going to begin to take you over to the point where there's nothing left inside except for that root of bitterness. And we've completely lost this idea or this concept of shalom. Now, can you guys hear me okay? Someone comment on here. Someone said they're having problems with internet. I don't know if it was their internet or my internet, but hopefully you guys can hear me okay. Anyone? Okay. I'm gonna go on like it's working fine. Unforgiveness leads to the root getting planted in our lives. So how do we know that we have this root of bitterness inside of us? How do we know that we're doing that we have this thing inside of us that's growing? I'm gonna talk through a few things real quick and make sure that you know when this root of bitterness is inside of you. Like number one, am I playing into a situation or scenario over and over again in my head where I was wronged or I was in the wrong, right? So is there something that happened, whether it was recently or in the past, that continues to play in your head over and over and over again? If so, you may have this root of bitterness in your life. Is there something that happened, something someone said, something someone did that hurt your feelings, something that someone may have done to you, or maybe something that you did to an individual that you need to either ask for forgiveness or ask them to forgive you, right? Is there a situation happening in your life that continues to play over and over again in your head? Number two is my mouth out of control? What's coming out of my mouth on a regular basis? Is it positive or is it negative? If you continually hear yourself speaking positive words, words of affirmation to individuals, if you're being positive towards your family, towards your kids, then you're probably okay. You probably don't have this root of bitterness. If everything that comes out of your mouth is negative, you probably have the root of bitterness somewhere in your life that you need to find and uproot. When we are constantly negative, when we have this negativity inside of us, and we can't seem to let it go, we need to deal with the core issue. What the core issue is a lot of time is it was that one of those situations or scenarios that happened to you, and you need to uproot that root of bitterness out of your life to allow yourself to become more positive, right? Number three, I think, three or four, I didn't number these, I'm sorry. That's okay. Am I sick? Am I sick? Scientists have actually concluded that bitterness, if left unchecked, interferes with your body's hormones and immune systems. Bitter people tend to have higher blood pressure, and their heart rate is much more like in their higher blood pressure and heart rate, and they're more likely to die of heart disease or another illness. Are you sick? Are you constantly tired? Are you constantly sick? If so, you may have the root of bitterness inside of you, and you are continually playing a situation over and over and over again in your head, or maybe making up a scenario where the person that you are bitter towards is happening over and over, which raises your heart rate, which allows your blood pressure to go up, which causes you to be sick, right? It could be, And then lastly, can you form new friendships? Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, right? We talked about the idea of, are you being humble, right? Are you being humble? If you're being humble, it's easier to form new friendships. It just is, because if you're prideful, people aren't going to listen to you. If you're humble, it's easy to form friendships. It's the same thing that's true with this root of bitterness. If it's difficult for you to initiate new friendships, maybe it's because you're being negative. And if you're being negative, I can promise you it's going to be difficult for you to form new friendships. It's just the truth. People want to be around other people who are positive. People want to be around other people who speak positivity into their lives. If you have a root of bitterness inside of you, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to pour into other people positivity because you don't have positivity inside of you. Carrie and I love watching food shows, especially dessert competitions. We found a new show on Netflix just recently called The School of Chocolate. And the stuff that they create on the show is just absolutely fascinating, right? They use chocolate and they make these massive sculptures, and it's a really cool show. However, the contestants on this show are so focused on themselves that it makes the show really frustrating to watch sometimes, because it's all about me and mine, right? I think there was only maybe one or two characters on the show that we actually liked because everyone else was out to get the other person, right? It makes it difficult to watch. There's one lady in particular who is so self-interested in herself and what she had to bring to the table or what she had to offer that she actually made enemies with most of the other competitors. And as a spectator, as someone watching her on the other side, we're like just screaming at her, like, stop being that way. Stop being so negative. Stop trying to sell yourself so much and be humble, right? We're screaming at the television saying, hey, you're allowing this root of bitterness to grow inside of you to the point where all of a sudden it's not your work that's being criticized, right? It must be the judges or it must be the other contestants because my work is flawless. And you're like, no, I think it's your work. I think you're just not as good as you think that you are, right? So if we do have this root of bitterness inside of us and we are allowing ourselves to be negative and we are allowing ourselves to be sick and we are all these things that are popping up in our lives, how do we overcome those things? Luke 6:37 says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. If you want to know how to be forgiven, you need to learn to forgive others. If you don't want to be judged, then don't judge others. Just like the story that we read earlier, right? Jesus wasn't judging Jesus wasn't judging the lady. He was forgiving her, right? The Pharisees were judging her. The Pharisees were also judging Jesus. And then all of a sudden, they're the ones with the fingers pointed at them, right? They're the ones being judged. Because all of a sudden, their mail's being read by Jesus writing in the sand or the dust, right? So if we choose to judge others, if we choose to condemn others, if we choose to not forgive others, that's going to come back on us, right? So that's the first step. Don't judge others. Don't condemn others. And always forgive. That's important. Always forgive. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that rage, those harsh words, those slanders. Get rid of those evil behaviors. And in order to get rid of the root of bitterness, in order to get rid of it, we have to plant things in our life that give life. We have to plant things in our life that give life. In other words, we need to be planting the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, right? If we will plant love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives, those things are going to begin to take root. And those are going to be the things that actually build up that wall in our life and give us that shalom or that peace that we actually desire so desperately. If we begin to plant those things, those fruits of the Spirit, it will choke out any root of bitterness in your life that is currently there. If you want to know how to get rid of the root of bitterness, plant the fruits of the Spirit. And I promise you, those things will choke out those roots of bitterness that are hidden deep in your life. So what does it look like to live in a state of shalom with others? Isaiah 11:6-8 says, In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. The little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safe near the hole of the cobra. Yes, the little child will put his hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. That is what it looks like to live in a state of shalom with others, right? True peace, true shalom will come one day, right? We're not ever going to get it perfect. Our wall may not ever be totally 100% complete because there's always going to be something there that we need to work on. That's what keeps us humble, right? But when those situations come up, when those situations arise, I know it's not easy to forgive others, especially when you've been wronged so badly, when people have spoken negative things against you, it's difficult to forgive them. And I've spoken a message like this before, and I actually had a lady come up to me after the message, and she said, man, I hear you, Matt, I hear what you're saying, but I just can't forgive my dad. I can't forgive him. He was not a good father to me. He constantly spoke negative things about me. And I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can forgive him. And I said, well, you know what? Take your time. Pray about it. Pray about what God wants you to do. And then see what happens. And then over the next year, I watched as she went from, I don't think I can forgive him, to being in a relationship as an adult with her father and them both reconciling that situation. They both asked for forgiveness from one another. They both forgave one another. And now they have, it's not a perfect relationship. They don't see each other all the time, but they are at peace with one another. And that was really important for her in her life to be able to have shalom, to have that part of that wall fixed and mended and repaired so that she could continue to be who God called her to be. Now, with that being said, I'm not asking you to put yourself in an abusive situation. I'm not asking you to put yourself in an abusive relationship for the sake of forgiveness. However, it is possible for you to let go of those situations and face those situations and without entering those relationships again, right? It's possible for you to let go of those situations. It's possible for you to let go of that bitterness. It's possible for you to let go of those situations that have happened to you without entering those abusive relationships again, okay? Because I want to be clear about that. We're not asking you to enter abusive relationships by any means and asking for forgiveness in that way. But what I am saying is it's possible for you to be freed from that anger and from that guilt and from that shame that has happened in your life, and to be free from that and to be healed. And all we have to do is just ask God for clarification and for direction and to seek the counsel from others, right? Today, I want you to begin to self-reflect. I want you to think about the relationships that you have in your life. And I want you to ask yourself, is there someone in my life that I need to forgive? Is there someone that has wronged me that I need to now forgive? Then ask yourself another question. Is there someone that I need to ask for forgiveness from? Have I wronged somebody in my life that I need to go to and ask for forgiveness? Do I need to humble myself and go to that person and be the bigger person and resolve the situation in my life so that I have complete and total shalom? Is there someone in your life that you need to come to peace with? If so, I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to ask God for clarification and for direction in this spot in your life and see what God would tell you to do. Some of you, you need to see a professional counselor, right? You need help. You need to be able to talk this out with a professional counselor and get some clarification and some help with knowing exactly how to attack this situation in your life. Some of you just need a friend, right? Some of you need a friend to be able to talk things through with. We're here for you guys. We love you guys. We want to help you succeed in your life and have shalom in your life. And so if you just simply need that friend, reach out to us. Let us know. We would love to connect you with somebody who can walk you through this process. But most of all, don't be ashamed of talking it out. Don't be ashamed of talking it out, right? Find a friend, open up, and let them know that you're dealing with this root of bitterness in your life. Because I promise you, until you deal with that situation in your life, until you begin to plant those fruits of the Spirit in your life, you will always be sick. You will always have a difficulty finding friendships. You will always be angry. And we want you to be whole. We want you to have peace and shalom and love in your life. I'm going to say a prayer and then I've got some closing thoughts for you guys. So let's just go to God in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much and we're so thankful, God, that you can offer us peace, that you can offer us an opportunity to have wholeness and completeness inside of our lives, God. God, I just pray for every single person that's watching this message, God, that as they're praying, as they're seeking after you, God, that you would just bring to mind those situations that they need to reconcile. God, that you would bring to the surface those roots of bitterness that are hidden deep within them, God, and bring those situations out so that, God, they can know exactly what it is that they need to deal with, God, so they can make that move to get rid of that root of bitterness in their lives. God, I pray over every single person today that has been dealing with COVID, with illnesses, God, that you would just begin to heal them, God, that you would begin to heal all the folks in Johnson County and that have been sick and been dealing with this illness, God, and the work issues that follow that. God, I just speak positivity into every single person that's been sick. God, that you would just begin to heal them, help them to feel well again, God. Lord, we just love you and we thank you because on the backside of you healing our issues of this root of bitterness, on the backside of that, there's freedom, there's joy, there's love, God, and we look forward to experiencing that together, God, that complete and total shalom that you come to offer each and every single one of us. God, we love you and we thank you. We're excited for what you're doing in and through our lives. And it's all this we ask in your name. Amen. Amen, guys. And thank you guys for jumping on here today. I know some of you are going to watch this a little later. In the comments, I'm going to include the link to our online giving. So if you guys have any giving today, you can do that. If you normally give through check or cash, you guys can just hold on to that until next week. Hopefully we'll be in person again next week, but we're going to play that by ear and we're going to just make sure that everyone stays safe and healthy and happy. So just keep an eye out for that announcement coming out. We'll make that decision later this week, whether or not we're going to be doing an online service again or if we're going to be in person. So keep an eye out for that. The t-shirts, if you are still interested in a t-shirt, the long sleeve t-shirts, you can find the design on our Facebook page. They're $15 per shirt. We're doing pre-orders only. So if you're interested in that, make sure to let us know. You can email me. It's matt@theproject.church. You can send me a Facebook message or one of the 8,000 other ways that people communicate these days. You could send it to me and let me know that you're interested in it. And then we can collect the money from you at a later time. Just let me know what size you need. And I think that's all we have. But just keep an eye out on our Facebook page for any announcements that we have. We'll also make a decision about youth probably tomorrow and just let you guys know about that. I think Aisha's watching, so if she has a decision already made, she can put that in the comments. Other than that, I love you guys, and we'll see you again next week.